Hola amigos and bienvenido back to the World Youth Day Leaders Formation series of talks. This is session number 3 from the 20th of October 2010. And on tonight's session, we have Bishop Julian Porteous speaking on the topic, The Life of Virtue. He looks at the pursuit of virtue and key virtues such as humility, obedience, chastity, and love. Don't worry if you couldn't attend the session. Thanks to this recording, you'll feel like you were just there in the St. Dominic's Parish Hall in Flemington. So here he is, Bishop Julian Porteous, on the topic, The Life of Virtue, for cradio.org.au.
As you know, these sessions, the second sessions, are really more for your own personal formation. Certainly, I think tonight's first talk and this talk link together really well, looking at the moral life. And we want to look at living the Christian life and growing in that Christian character. That's what this series is about. So just to recap what we were talking about in the first week, we might remember I asked the question, what was the most precious thing we own on earth? And, you know, I just propose to you the most valuable thing we have in the end is our character. You know, of all the other things, you know, it's who we are. It's what we become. That's the most valuable thing that we have. So I kind of explored that question and saying that's what we want to look at, growing in Christian character. How can we grow to be really the sort of people that we want to be and we know God wants us to be? So that's what we're kind of doing in these series. And last time we had Kathy Kennedy came along and spoke. And I think in order to look at growing in Christian character, you have to begin by sort of saying, what is the reality of human life? And the reality of the human life is very simple. We're created good. But we know through the fall, through the sin of Adam and Eve, we're fallen. But then Christ came to redeem us. And there's a redeeming power of God at work in our life. And Father Luke spoke about that a bit tonight. So they're the basic elements. And each one of those is very important, you know, that we are basically good. And we have a basic orientation toward the good. You know, I don't think any of you are sitting here tonight thinking, how can I be a worse person than I am or already are, you know? We don't have that orientation towards just being miserable and mean and lousy and, you know, naturally because we're created good, we're created by a good God, so we have natural orientation towards good. However, because of the reality of sin, we know we fall short, we fail, we have temptations, you know, all those struggles we go through to try to be the person we are, we know there's this reality of sin in our life. The third element is Christ came and through his death on the cross and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there's a power of God, and that's what, again, Father Luke was talking about tonight. There's a power of God at work in our life to redeem us, to raise us up, to help us overcome our weakness. So that's the ground, the basis upon which we can look at this question which we're going to look at tonight. I want to talk about the idea of virtue. I was talking to somebody before, and they were talking about the theological virtues and the moral virtues. I'm not actually going to look at those as such. Tonight, I want to talk about what is virtue itself, firstly. And to do this, we have to ask ourselves a question. Because virtue is about growing in goodness, growing in a good quality of our life. Now, can we do this? Or are we just simply the product of our genes and our experience? In other words, you know, you sometimes hear people say, I can't help it, that's the way I'm made. You know, I'm like this. Orders. I remember once, this was really a great surprise for me. I was, as a young priest, I remember, and there was this young fellow, and he was about 15 or 16. He was a fairly big fellow. His mother was fairly small. And he was beating his mother. He was, you know, whacking her and so forth. I talked to him about that, and I sort of asked him, why you do that? Your mother. She's your mother. And he said, I can't help it. That's why I am. That's what my social worker told me. You know, and I thought, oh. You know, in other words, so he's saying, I can't do anything about who I am. You know, I'm made this way, or these circumstances of my life have caused me to be this sort of person. I can't change. And so that becomes what we call determinism. I'm determined by my genes or by my upbringing or by my circumstances in life, and therefore I can't do anything about myself. I reckon that's a very bleak view of human life, isn't it? People say, I can't do anything, I can't change, I can't improve, I can't do these. These things are just who I am. We don't believe in this as Christians, because we believe that the human person is an acting agent possessing freedom to make choices. That's who we are. We're an acting agent. We make, we act, we do things with our life, and we possess the freedom to make choices. And we make choices all the time. Now, we may be influenced by various things around us and our character and so forth from our background, but we still have an essential freedom. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's got a mental problem. You can have things, but the normal person, we possess an essential freedom which is God-given, the freedom to make choices. And we make choices all the time. And as Father Luke was saying, and what I want to talk about in the idea of growing in character, growing in who we are, we become the product of our choices. So when we choose the good, you know, that's creating goodness in us. And we know what happens to the opposite. When we choose the bad, you know, we know that that takes us down another path. So all the time, if you like, we're creating ourselves. All the time, we're making ourselves into who we are by the choices that we take. And virtue then is built upon the foundation of the decisions that we make in response to situations in which we find ourselves. This is what virtue is. Virtue is the fact that we make these choices in the midst of the particular circumstances and situations. And we're doing that every day in 100 different situations. Somebody's irritating me and driving me mad at work. How I handle that is what is going to help me grow in virtue or decline in virtue. And so all the time we're shaping and creating the quality of virtue in our lives. So virtue is the fruit of our decision to take responsibility for our lives. I always think that's a very important thing. To say, I'm going to take responsibility for my life. I'm going to grow. I'm going to become somebody. I'm going to develop my qualities and my character. I'm going to form myself. So it's taking a positive decision to grow. So we're not going to be passive. We're not just going to sit back and think it's all too hard. No, I'm going to engage with life. I'm going to engage with the challenges and circumstances and situations which I find myself. And I'm going to grow. I'm going to take responsibility. And that's the other thing that is important, you know, about responsibility, because there's, you know, there's always a temptation to think, oh, I did that. That was because that person or that situation caused me. You know how we can always want to pass over responsibility to someone else? I think it's a really good... That's the beauty of confession, by the way. The beauty of confession is that I'll say, Lord, I'm responsible. I'm not going to shaft the responsibility somewhere else. Every time we go to confession, it's a growing moment because we are taking responsibility for our lives. It's a very good thing to actually engage in regular use of the sacrament of penance, because I am facing my life realistically. I'm engaging with the challenges I face, and I'm taking responsibility so that I can grow. So that I can grow. In other words, we choose what we become. Anybody here want to be a saint? Yes, got a few starters, a few more. Good, we'll choose to be a saint. That's what Mary MacKillop did. She chose to be a saint. She chose the life. You know, sainthood just doesn't suddenly happen. It's the choices that we make to form ourselves. So we choose what we become. If you want to be holy, choose to be holy. You want to choose to be courageous, You want to be courageous, choose to be courageous. If you want to be loving, I choose to love. If you want to be forgiving, I choose to forgive. So that making the choice, I'm going to be like this. So as I said before, making these choices, making these decisions needs to be also done within this context of the reality of the human condition. And that reality, as we saw, as human beings, we are created free. That's why I say we have the freedom to make choices, and yet fallen. We know the reality of temptation, our own weaknesses and failings. But now, under the saving power of God in Christ, we have the grace of the Holy Spirit to assist us. So in making these choices, we're not just having to do it all ourselves. That's, again, what Father Luke was saying this evening. It's not just then sort of saying, gritting my teeth, I'm going to be a good person. It's like making all the effort myself. We have to use our freedom. We have to make the choice. We have to take responsibility. But we also realize that the saving power of God is at work in our life. Christ has broken the power of evil over us. Evil cannot triumph in the end. That's what the meaning of Christ's death on the cross was. He broke the power of evil. And then when the Holy Spirit was poured out, God was saying, I'm going to breathe a new life into you. I'm going to breathe a power to raise you up, a power to enable you to grow, to be the sort of person that God really wants us to be as his sons and daughters. So we take responsibility, but the power of God comes to help us in that. So we're not just doing it under our own steam, we're not just doing it by willpower alone. We have both the exercise of our freedom and the work of grace in our life. So growth in virtue is the interaction of decision, the will, and of grace. Is that making sense? Can you sense this? Say, yeah, this is a Christian life. This is, you know, very much building on what Father Luke said. You know, how do we live the Christian? How do we imitate Christ? We choose to follow Christ. Christ says, follow me. We say, yes, I will. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I want to be like you. And then God's grace kicks in to enable us to achieve that. Okay? That's growing in virtue. So this is taken from the Catholic Catechism, just to give you an idea. A definition that we could use: an habitual and firm disposition to do good. It allows the person not only to perform good acts, but to give the best of himself. So as Father Luke was saying too, it's not just what we do, it's what's animating the doing from within us. It's this interior desire, this interior direction we give to our life that enables us. And you know, that image that Father Luke referred to about the tree producing fruit, a good tree will produce good fruit. When we are living in the Spirit, when we are open to the presence and power of God, we're just going to find ourselves. And when we just say, I'm going to be a person that is loving, that is kind, that is compassionate, all those things will come, not only because of our own effort, but we're going to allow the grace of God to bring them about. So our actions will actually flow from our hearts, will flow from the person that we're desiring to be. And this is also from just another section of that same part of the Catholic Catechism. The virtuous person tends toward the good with all his sensory and spiritual powers. He pursues the good and chooses it in concrete actions. That's a virtuous person. I choose the good. So in any situation, somebody's, you know, I said before, somebody does an injustice to me. Now I can say, I'm going to get even. Or I can say, I'm going to forgive. And we know what Christ would say. Christ did not teach, whenever somebody does something bad to you, get even. We know that's not the teaching of Christ. Christ said, how many times must I forgive my brother if he wrongs me? Seven times? No, 77 times. So we say, the path for me is forgiveness. So I choose the path of Christ. I choose the way of Christ in responding to situations and circumstances in life. Okay, you still with me? So that's a little bit generally about virtue. Now, what I'd like to ask, and actually the answer came out through Alison's introduction, but what do you think is a foundational virtue? What do you think of all the virtues? I mentioned some: compassion, love, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, goodness, all those, you know, all those, they're all virtuous things. What do you reckon is the foundations? You know how you put down the foundations to a house first before you build a house? What would you guess would be the foundation virtue? What would be the most important virtue to lay as a foundation to all the other virtues? Love? Charity? Huh? Yeah, you heard it, didn't you? No. You're right. Love is the crowning of the virtues, isn't it? The greatest commandment is love. That's the crowning of the virtues. What I'm going to propose to you is where we begin is humility. Now just think about that for a moment. Why is humility important? You might notice that the number of times that the Lord in his teaching speaks about humility. Time and time again. I haven't sat down and worked them all out, but you'll see it comes up constantly in the teaching of Christ. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The greatest. The greatest person in the kingdom of heaven is going to be somebody who's like a child. It's not saying the greatest person is going to be the most courageous or the most intellectual or the most person who does the greatest actions in history. The greatest person in heaven is going to be the one who is like a little child. It's a really odd thing, isn't it, when you think about it? But there's a deep truth here. The Lord is pointing to deep truth. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. See, the Lord turns everything back to front according to human wisdom. The greatest among you is the one who's very important, who's got all the money, has all the success and all the achievement. No. If you're going to be great, you've got to learn to be a servant. You've got to learn to be a slave. You've got to learn to be humble. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. No, it's blessed are the strong, the powerful, the ones who have all the influence in the world. No, Jesus, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. It turns everything upside down, you know. So they're just a few. I mean, there are many. When you read the Gospels, you notice how many times the Lord goes back to the question of humility. And I think in his mind, he said, if you're not humble, you're not going to be really able to get a start, because God refuses the proud and comes to that in the humble. You know why? Because the proud person thinks they've got it all together. The proud person is self-confident. The proud person often has a lot of success and achievement, and they don't need God. I'm doing all right, thank you very much. I'm proud, I'm capable, I'm achieving things. I can do it myself. Pride comes before the fall. Normally what happens, sooner or later, they're going to come crashing down. But the proud person doesn't need God. The humble person does. The humble person says, Lord, I can't do this myself. You're the one. I depend on you. I look towards you. And God's power then can work in their life. The Erasmus, the Dutch priest and a humanist in the 16th century, simply said, humility is truth. And I think that's ultimately what it is. It's the truth. Humility is the truth about who we are. Are we the greatest thing that ever existed? No. The truth about ourselves, that's humility. And the truth about ourselves ultimately is we can't manage by ourselves. We can't achieve by our own power. We can't make it alone. We need God. We need his grace. We need his mercy. We need his forgiveness. We need his help. We need his guidance. We need his wisdom. We need his truth. So the humble person says, Lord, I turn to you. I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to guide me. And I think any person to build a virtuous life. That's the starting point, because it's the truth of who we are as human beings. That make any sense? All right, what I'm going to suggest now is we break into little groups, so about six or seven, perhaps, or five, six or seven in a group. And this is a tricky question. How do we grow in humility? Now, I'll mention one thing right now. If you want to grow in humility, I'll tell you one thing that will definitely work. This is from personal experience. And that is, if you ask God to make you humble, he will do it. But be warned, the normal path to growing into being humble is to be humiliated. But how do we grow in humility? So you might like to toss that round with each other. So just for about 10 minutes, and then we'll just come back to conclude the evening. So would you like just to break, just maybe you group there?
Well, certainly something to think about. That concludes tonight's recording of the World Youth Day Leaders Formation Talk from the 20th of October 2010. Stay tuned to the Credio website for more talks as they continue up to August 2011. And remember, you can podcast them or download them or view them as RSS feeds. Lots of options. Just go to the website credio.org.au. We'll see you at the next session. Thanks a lot and God bless.